If you came here this morning looking for Jesus, there's a place for you in this gospel. If you came here this morning and you're not quite sure why you're here, there's a place for you in this gospel as well. And if you showed up, you sat down, and you're kind of in your mind rolling your eyes in disbelief that anybody would ever fall for a story like this, there's a place for you in this gospel. Because this gospel, this story of faith, this morning, this proclamation of grace and life that we all need, whether or not we want it, is for us. It is for you. It's for me. It's for our neighbors. This gospel is for those of us who have lived our faith with abundance and have been guided by hope and expectant joy. And this gospel, this day, is for those of us who really can't believe. We cannot comprehend the death that we see all around us, how it can be silenced and possibly ever rolled away, that out of a grave, life and light can emerge. So we may have had a rough week. Maybe it's been a rough year. Maybe it's been many years. Maybe we wouldn't have come at all if it weren't for those voices in our head, those ancestors who keep speaking words to us, that Sunday school teacher once when back in our lives, or maybe an old friend or neighbor who lives with us and keeps telling us about God's love for us. And yet, brothers and sisters, we're here. We are in God's presence. We are washed in Christ's promise that we are loved. And we are in this gospel story that John is telling us this morning, because there are some of us here who could not wait to get up this morning and get here, be in this space, hear this story again. Because this good news, this proclamation of abundant life, it is everything for us. Some of us, like Mary, we were up before the sun. We were getting ready so that we could be here. Mary shows up before everybody else because she has been holding the hope of her entire community. She has been carrying Jesus' words for all of the disciples, for her entire family. She was there since the beginning, and she was at the foot of the cross at the very end. And she has been praying, and she has been weeping for herself, for her people. She has spent her nights pacing the floors, wondering what's next, what this all means for her family, her friends, her people. And finally, she can't take it anymore. She's got to get up, and she heads out. She needs to talk to God again, and she goes out to the garden. And as has happened so often, too often to count, when she talks to God, God talks to her. Because we notice in this particular gospel, she's not at all thrown by the fact that there are two angels sitting there talking to her. She has talked to God before. She knows the voice of the Lord. And she has felt the presence of the Spirit like so many have. Maybe you have. In the silence of the night, or when God passes by and it is so real and it's so clear that it makes absolutely no sense and it makes absolute perfect sense. So what's new about this prayer, this experience between Mary and God, is that she's out in the garden in that cemetery and the grave is empty. And because it's empty, that sends her racing back to town, and she grabs two disciples who, for reasons that defy logic, they race back out to the garden themselves. They've got to see the cemetery for themselves. So she got them up. She got them there. Even on a weekend morning, they made it, and they follow her lead. Because these disciples want to believe too. We want to believe. We want to know what we have seen. Even if for a second that the nearness of God has been with us, we want to know. We want to see for ourselves, and we are willing to give it another chance. We'll go out on another Easter morning. We will check the tomb ourselves, and we know, we believe that there is something different this morning. We trust Mary because we love the Marys in our life who keep calling us back to God because they have never led us astray, even when we don't want to hear their words. What's different is that this doesn't make any sense. Empty graves are a sign of a crime, not God's love. Even when our hearts and our heads tell us that this must be God at work, we can't believe. On our own, we can't. Besides, bodies don't rise up. Life does not return to cold flesh. Our lives are surrounded by reminders of our mortality and our mistakes. We turn on our tablets, and we see the news of bombings and wars and threats of wars. We see discrimination and hate and harmful words thrown at each other. God can't love us that much. God can't care that much. God can't forgive us for all that we have done. For every fiber within us that tells us that this is our God, there's another fiber or another report in the news that pushes it all back down. It pulls us back to reality. So we head home with the disciples. We've been moved. We've been impressed. And we're exhausted. And Mary stays. And Mary continues her vigil for the rest of us, because she's praying for the rest of us, and she's hoping, and she's trusting, and she's talking to God for the rest of us. And Jesus appears to Mary the way Jesus will appear to the rest of us. Jesus shows up and he stays with Mary in the garden. He calls her by name the way that he calls us by name and calls us out of our dark rooms and our isolation and our locked houses. Jesus hears our prayers. Jesus knows our tears, and he wears on his hands the proof of our doubt, and he stands with us. So he stands with Mary because he loves Mary, and he stands with us because he loves us, even when we don't love him. Even when, like all the other disciples at the end of our gospel for today, when they hear the good news of God that Mary can muster in every word that she can proclaim, they do nothing. They listen. They hear her out. They appreciate her prayers. It's really lovely. All the time that she's given them. And still they lock their doors and they stay in. Because we can't believe this story. We cannot believe that Jesus, our Jesus, can rise from the grave. Because nothing in this world can ever overcome loss or death or suffering or pain or war or discrimination. And yet, brothers and sisters, we're here. That still small voice, that one secret prayer that we hold on to that we don't dare tell anybody else about, that glimmer of hope that glows in our heart, that is our faith in Christ, our Christ, our risen Christ, the one who finds us behind the tallest, strongest walls that we build around our hearts to protect ourselves, the one who has appeared through the murkiest, thickest haze of our disbelief, the one who speaks our name the loudest, even over the clinging temptations that keep pulling us away. Jesus comes for us, our Jesus, who loves Mary for her faith. Jesus loves us for our faith, because our faith in Christ comes from God. It is shaped by God's grace, by nothing of this world. And it is bound to our lives, no matter how far we travel, no matter what we have done, no matter what we do, no matter what we say. Jesus comes for us because he loves us. Our story is this story. We have run breathless. We have been searching for good news. We have walked away from every sign that God has given us, and we have been hesitant to believe. We have cried over our families. We have mourned the loss of loved ones, wondering if we'd ever see them again. We have heard the entire story from start to finish and not been turned back to God. This gospel is our story, because Jesus is our story. He is our life. He is our hope. He is our patience. He is our anger and disbelief. Jesus is our love, our frustration, our want for every power and prayer to be silenced, of every promise of God to be fulfilled. Jesus is our death, and Jesus is our life. And despite it all, and despite every obstacle, and despite every logical reason to the contrary, we're here. Because God's here. Because Jesus has stood with us. And Jesus has listened to us. And Jesus cared for us even when we didn't want it. We are loved by Christ, who will be stopped by nothing, not doubt, not death, not any weapon of this world, so that he can be with us, so that he can remain with us, so that he can keep loving and feeding and walking with us on our days of absolute hope and joy and our nights of absolute disappointment and dread. This gospel, this day, this proclamation, this promise fulfilled, this is our story. Jesus is our Lord, your Lord, my Lord, the Lord of our neighbors. So brothers and sisters, keep telling your story and listen for Christ, who speaks our name and loves us unconditionally. Imagine where Christ is leading us, where he needs us, how he needs our words, our hands, our feet, our very presence to live out his story in this world, which hears no other story of forgiveness or love. Tell your story of Christ's love for you. And remember again that Christ loves us and stands with us and all of creation. Amen.